Welcome to the weekly podcast of Covenant Grace Menifee. Each week, we gather to better understand the teachings of the Bible and how to live them out in our daily lives. We hope and pray that you're encouraged by this week's message.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of light. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father of the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you are yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, every one whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. Let me go ahead and pray. Father, we hear those words in that passage, this Jesus whom you crucified and killed. And we do feel those words directed towards us. Lord, it was our sin that required his sacrifice. And yet it was his great love that he willingly went to the cross for us. And so at the cross, we're faced with both the greatest evil that the world has ever shown, and we're also faced with the greatest love that the world has ever been shown. And so we pray tonight that you would fill our hearts with gratitude. Lord, help us to trust in you. If you can take the evil that was meant for Jesus on the cross and turn it into a good Friday, then we can trust you to work all things for our good and for your glory. In Christ we pray, amen. Well, good evening. It's so good to be with you, even after a long day, after singing those songs together. It's just good to remember why this Friday is good. And we're gathered here tonight to remember and also rejoice. And I think that's the surprising part. It's surprising to sing songs about Jesus' blood being spilled, isn't it? It's surprising to rejoice in the brutal execution of a man who did nothing wrong. And not only did he do nothing wrong to deserve the death penalty, but he did nothing wrong ever. And he was completely sinless his whole life. And so the question is, why would we celebrate this day? Why would we celebrate his death? Why on earth call it a Good Friday? And even if you know the answer to this question, I think just hearing that, it still stings a little bit, doesn't it? We call it Good Friday not because it was good for Jesus, this innocent God-man, to be tortured and then executed on the cross. But we call it Good Friday because in God's good and holy and gracious plan, he provided a way for us to be reconciled. For sinners like you and me, like we once were, to be reconciled to him. And he accomplished it through this willing sacrifice of Jesus. And this is so important for us to be reminded of, because the problem of evil, it hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, it's still here, right? We know people that struggle to believe in a good God that would allow evil things to happen in the world. I mean, many people I know even would cite the problem of evil as the reason they can't even believe in God. They reject the idea that God even exists, or as a reason that maybe they grew up in the church, but now they're gone. They've maybe experienced too much. I mean, many Christians, you probably know some, I know some, that have faced just horrific evil or unimaginable tragedy in their lives. And they've just had just a really hard time reckoning with that question of why. And so tonight, instead of focusing on that question, the question of why does God allow bad things to happen to good people, I want to look at a slightly different question. The slightly different question is, why did God allow bad things to happen on Good Friday? Because I think if we focus on that question, I think we're going to be encouraged that God can even take, we may not answer the question of why would these things happen, but we can be encouraged that God can use even the worst pain, the worst suffering, for our good and for his glory. And this is a great passage to look at, isn't it? It's in Acts chapter 2. It's some of the first sermons that go out about the gospel, on the gospel. And really, I just want to look at three reasons from this passage. And so if you have your Bibles open, keep them open. We're going to be jumping around a little bit to Acts chapter 2, that passage that was read, verses 22 through 41. And I just want to look at three things in that passage, as to why God may be allowing bad things to happen on a Good Friday. And so the three things we'll look at are, God allows bad things to happen on Good Friday, first, to glorify Christ, second, to defeat death forever, and then third, to bring about ultimate good. So let's take a look at this first. God allowed bad things to happen on Good Friday to glorify Christ. What does that mean? Look at verse 22 again. Verse 22 is that first verse at the beginning of our passage, and it says this. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God." A man attested to you by God. So the word here that's translated attested means to prove or put forth or show or make public or lift up or set forth. You get the idea, right? I mean, it means a man attested. It means that too. But that just kind of fills in the word picture there. God is glorifying Christ in this. He's putting him on display through those mighty works that he's done, through those wonders and signs that Jesus did during his time on this earth. There were many things that Jesus did that no mere human could do. And then this final miraculous, well, not the final miraculous because he also ascended, but one of the final miraculous divine acts was for him to put this end to pain and sin and suffering and death through the resurrection. And that's what we'll be celebrating on Sunday, right? So verse 24 says this, that God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. And so this word here for pangs is an interesting choice. There's about six different words that we see throughout the New Testament that are used to describe pain. So but kind of back in their vocabulary, they would have had about six different words. We have probably about the same. But Luke, the author here of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, he uses this word that actually means birth pains. So it's most commonly used in association with the pains of giving birth. And, you know, Jesus didn't give birth here, but he chooses, I believe, this word that means birth pains, because it points to the fact that Jesus, in these pains, there will be a new life, right? There will be resurrection life that comes. The pain that Jesus experiences in death is not a pain that ends in death, but a pain that through death ends in resurrection, right? It ends in that new life, that resurrection life. And in this, Jesus is glorified, right? He's the only one that has come back never to die again. And so what does that mean for us? Because Jesus' suffering ends in glory, we know that our suffering can glorify Christ as well. So in the next few verses, in verses 25 through 31, Luke describes that God the Son was actually speaking through David, and he quotes Psalm 16 in those passages. He's speaking through David, David's not just talking about his future physical resurrection, but about Christ's resurrection, right? And about Christ's joy in his resurrection, right? So he's got this really, in the passages, this really exuberant joy in the midst of his suffering. So if you look at verse 26, it says, "My heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope." And then verse 28, "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." And those words don't sound like the words of someone whose life was just taken from him. That sounds like the words of someone who has been victorious over death. Amen? And so Jesus had this great joy and in the midst of his suffering, and he wants you and I to experience that same joy in him. And so I think in our own suffering, we may not know exactly how God is going to use our suffering for good, but we know that when we look to find our joy in Christ, and despite our circumstances, we also show the world just how good he is and how good he's been to us. So we end up proving or putting forth or showing or making public or lifting him up or setting him forth. And we show how much we trust him more than we despair in our circumstances. We show how much we trust in his promises. And there's some mystery here, right? There's some mystery, but we know from this passage that our suffering never occurs outside of God's providence, just like Jesus' suffering didn't. So look at Acts 2:23 again. Look at verse 23 again. It says this, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Now, I want you to notice for a minute what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that God just created good out of the evil that kind of happened outside of his control. So God doesn't just look down at a situation that's kind of spiraling out of control, and then he's like, "We got to come up with a new plan. We got to make a new plan." God is not this eternal optimist that's like, okay, we can work with this. We can make a positive out of this negative. You know, we all know people like that. That's not how God is, right? The text says that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And while we know that God is not the author of evil, we know that these lawless men were responsible for that evil act of crucifying Jesus. And yet the evil that these men committed, it didn't happen outside of God's control. And it's a mystery. I don't know how all of this works. But what does it mean for you and me? It means that no tragedy happens to us outside of God's providence. It's not outside of his control. And so we can trust him then to make good on every single promise that he's made to us, because nothing is outside of his control. Even when things look hopeless. And things might look hopeless, right? We might lose everything in this life. We might even lose our own lives. But God was allowing what appeared to be a victory for death on Friday in order to bring about death's final defeat on Sunday. Amen? And so that's our second point. Brings us to our second point. God allowed bad things to happen on Good Friday to defeat death forever. Look at verse 31. It says, he, speaking of David, foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. And so at the cross, we see that death was defeated by a death, right? Christ's death. Death wasn't just defeated there at the cross, it was reversed, right? God raised Jesus, lifted him up on high in victory, and then poured out the Holy Spirit in order to give life to us, right? In order to give life to those people he saved. And so if death dies, and it does in Christ, then all of our pain and suffering ultimately dies with death. Amen? Death and suffering came into the world through one man's sin, through Adam's sin, and sin and suffering will ultimately exit the world through this man's, Jesus' death. Amen? And so because death is defeated, what does it mean for us? Because death is defeated, we don't need to stress out about living our best life now. Amen? In a few months from now, a small group of us are hoping to go to Albania. We're hoping to encourage a small number of Christians that are living there. And Dan McIntosh was telling me, he's the one leading us, leading our group there. He was telling me about this one pastor of a small village in Albania outside of the capital where we're going, where the church only has 8 members. Like, that's it. That's the whole church, 8 members. I was thinking, you know, like most of our families that go to this church are bigger than their entire church, right? Especially the ones that sit in the back. You guys know who you are. 8 members. And this pastor, he loves the church so much. He's from Germany originally. He actually flies to Germany, works for 3 months out of the year just to earn enough money so that he can fly back and minister full-time to his church in Albania, so he doesn't have to work full-time in Albania, or there might be problems with him getting a visa or whatever, but he supports himself so that he can go back and just minister to these people. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, there's no way he can be living his best life now, right? He could be living in Germany, he could work the other 9 months of the year, have a comfortable life. There's no way that this pastor believes that death is the end, right? He believes that death is only the beginning. And whatever he plants in this life, he will harvest and receive in the life to come. And so, you know, what about you? What about me? Are you and I living like death is the end? Or are we living like death is only the beginning of our eternal life? Is death only those labor pains that will bring about new life? And for the believer, death is only those birth pains of a new life, of a brand new life. And so finally, God allowed bad things to happen on Good Friday to bring about ultimate good, to bring about ultimate good. And as we kind of wrap up here, it is impossible to know why one bad thing has happened in our own lives. And so please don't let anybody try to tell you that they know the reason why, because they don't. They don't know why the Lord would have allowed these things. Maybe some terrible tragedy or pain or suffering or loss in your life. They don't know, right? Romans 11:34 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Your friend certainly hasn't, right? Your friend certainly doesn't. But we do know that in God's providence, God's purposes never end in evil. They only and always end in good for the believer. Right? Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Right? Genesis 50:20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And this verse is nowhere more true than at the cross. Right? That's what we see. What was meant for evil against Christ, God meant for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive forever. Amen? And so look at these final verses. Look at verse 36. It says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And so God allows this evil to happen on Good Friday so that 3,000 souls would be saved that day, and countless more over the next 2,000 years. And then you and I could receive this forgiveness in Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so if you're here tonight and you are feeling cut to the heart like those in our passage, or if you're asking the same question, what shall I do? All you need to do is receive this gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Just receive a gift. He's offering it to you. He's saying, take me, take my life, receive forgiveness in me. And we would just invite you to cry out to God in prayer on your own. These songs that we'll sing are a great way to cry out to him. We'd love to pray with you after service as well, if you'd like. And so let's pray together. Father, you love to turn that which looks evil into good. You love to turn that which looks hopeless into hope. You love to bring life from death. And we see this at the cross. We see there that Jesus bore our griefs and he carries our sorrows. He was crushed for our iniquities, and by his wounds we're healed. And so we pray for the continued healing of those of us that are continuing to trust you are good. And we're continuing to trust that all things work together for our good. I also pray for those that may be here tonight who don't know you. We pray that we would all see our sin. We would all see the suffering in this world. We would all see it defeated at the cross. Pray that we would all trust and believe that this is a very good Friday. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can email us at info@covgracemenifee.org. May the Lord bless your week and guide your steps.